And welcome back to Coast this hour. Jason Hansen with us. We'll take phone calls with him. Survive like a spy. Your stories, questions, you name it. We've got it on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Jason Hansen with us. Jason, nowadays, these countries that spy on each other, we spy on Russia, Russia spies on us, China, same thing. What are they looking for? What kind of information do they want that they can't get from any place, the internet, you name it? Things really aren't secrets anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for high-level government information. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, people are trying to get government assets who have security clearances in other country, because they know, you know, what's really going on. I mean, there's a reason why people come into this country, the Russians, and they would love to turn a CIA person or an NSA or a DIA, because they can also tell them, hey, who's in our country? So where are all the, you know, where are all the CIA guys in Russia going, or where are all the CIA guys in Iraq, where are they at? So they want to know where all the quote-unquote bodies are buried in their country. So, I mean, spying, of course, is never going to change until the end of the earth comes.
What turns a person into becoming a double agent? Money? Are they bought off? What motivates them?
Yeah, I mean, money, ideological concerns. You know, a lot of times, interestingly enough, and this is in my new book, is you obviously, when you're trying to work with someone and turn them, you figure out what motivates them. And a lot of time it's education. So you'll get someone in another country who says, hey, the U.S. schools are the best in the world. I have a kid getting ready to go to college. If you could get him an XYZ school, that'd be wonderful. So every parent in the world wants what's best for their kids, and that's a great way to turn people.
Here in Los Angeles, I have met a lot of people from China who are here vacationing, and I mean, they love the United States. And I got to tell you, Jason, they are fun people. They're nice people. You know, I don't see this huge ideology difference, but you can tell they love our way of living, but they live in China.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't love their way of living? I mean, I met a Chinese guy who was going to Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, and he was, you know, just going on and on about the United States, and he was, attending church and doing all these things, and he was like, well, when I go back to China, I can't attend church. I can't do this and that. So when somebody gets a taste of freedom, obviously they're going to love it.
That's true. I mean, and now the Chinese president is going to be able to run for life if he wants to, and he probably will get elected time and time again. But, you know, I was looking where German, Prime Minister, Chancellor Angela Merkel, she's going for four terms. I mean, it's the same as China.
It's one of the things that makes our country great is whether you love the president or hate the president, we get rid of them, you know, every 4 to 8 years. And, you know, again, common sense would let you know that dictators are bad, but I guess China hasn't figured that out yet.
Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Bill, truck driving in Arizona. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Colonel Stanislav Lunov.
The Russian with the suitcase nukes he knows about, right?
Yeah, and he said also that there is Russian agents in the highest levels of the U.S. government, and they've survived here as agents for years. So I guess it's the sleeper agent conspiracy. Do you think that's even possible, or is he just trying to get a book deal or something?
What do you think, Jason? Have you heard of the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a ton. I will say it's absolutely possible. So the Russians are very good at what they do, like some of the other foreign intelligence. And because the U.S. is such an open and free society, it's, you know, easier to get in here, easier to move up. So I do not have any direct information. I want to make that very clear, but it would not surprise me at all.
And he claims that there were suitcase nukes hidden away in the United States. I don't know how true that is either.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. I have no idea. I mean, that's, I'd say a little more far-fetched. I wouldn't believe it, but I absolutely believe the thing about Russian agents being embedded in all levels of government.
Well, we probably have them in Russia, too, don't we?
I mean, that's one of those things that I'll speculate here, of course. I wouldn't either confirm or deny, but I'll speculate. But, yeah, I mean, just, again, it's a big cat-and-mouse game where we're trying to get in people on the inside just like they're trying to get people on the inside.
I had heard that the best spy agency out there is the Mossad in Israel. Is that true?
Yeah, they're one of the best. They are fantastic. But so is Cuba. Cuba's agency,
Really?
They've been trained by the Russians. And what Cuba does is they use women, and they use beautiful women. So in the United States, you know, our women, they'll go over there, but it's not like the movies where our women are using seductive tactics and sleeping with guys and this and that. However, when you flip it, most foreign countries, Cuba included, will use their women to do pretty much anything and everything.
Interesting. Jim in Alabama. Go ahead, Jim, first-time caller.
Yes, this is Tim in Alabama.
All right, Tim, is it? Okay, thanks.
Yes. Good morning. I'm glad to get to talk to y'all finally after about a year or two.
Well, good. I'm glad you got through. Go ahead.
I've got a... Well, me and my wife have got kind of a problem. We thought we'd never have to, think about things like this, but we feel like we're being tracked in our car and also on our phones and maybe being watched around our home.
Who do you think is doing this to you?
Well, we believe that one person that we're suspicious of is a relative that's very suspicious that we're suspicious of.
All right. What do you think the relative is after? What does he or she want?
We're not really sure. This person is currently taking lots of psychotic medication.
Ah, so might be kind of whacked out a little bit.
Maybe. And also we feel like we're not the only person that this person has done this to.
All right, let me bring you in on this, Jason. So if this person is a little imbalanced, that explains that portion of it. But how easy is it for an individual like this other person to track you, to, you know, put little devices under your car and things like that?
Well, what you just mentioned, the devices under the car is super easy. I mean, I can go over to someone's garage or someone's driveway right now and pop one on. So if you think someone's watching you, I mean, just take a flashlight, look under the car. Most of these GPS tracking devices are smaller than a pack of cigarettes. They're going to stick it to the metal because most of them have magnetic attachments. So look in your wheel wells, look underneath the front and the back, see if anything sticks out, and there's some little, you know, black box there. The other thing is you have to think about, has this person you're talking about ever been alone with your cell phone? So their relative, okay, have you had them over for dinner and your cell phone was sitting on, you know, the table and you left for a minute? Could they have downloaded something? Could they have downloaded a tracking virus or something along those lines? So it all depends on how much access they've had to you.
And what about the motive, Jason? I mean, why would somebody care where somebody's going like that? I'm not talking about a suspicious husband or wife. Just why would you care where your family member was going like that?
Psychotic people think all kinds of crazy things. So maybe they think, hey, they're going to harm me. I don't know where they're going, which, of course, you know, entirely untrue. Or, hey, maybe they're going to meet with somebody who's trying to harm me. So whatever bizarre theories they get in their head, they might want to watch their every move so they know what you're doing. Maybe they even think they're protecting you, like, hey, I want to keep my family members safe. So, again, I don't know what's going on in the mind of a crazy person, but anything can be possible.
Now, should a parent track their child?
You know, I would. Absolutely. I mean, I tell them I'm tracking him, so I wouldn't even try and hide it. You know, I want to know if my kid is going out, because if we remember how we were all at 16 and 17 years old,
yeah,
there were plenty of times in my life where I told my mom and dad I was going to one place and I was going to the girlfriend's house.
So you'd want to know where that car is and things like that.
Exactly.
Well, and I don't think that's an invasion of privacy. Is it an invasion if you don't tell them?
You know, that is a great question. I mean, you're the one paying for the cell phone, probably, and you're the one
paying for the car and everything else.
Paying for the car, exactly.
Let's go to Mitch, truck driving in Ohio. Hey, Mitch, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. This is Matt, truck driving in Ohio.
Great.
And I think Tom misheard me, but anyway, I just wanted to tell a quick story about my friend Kevin, who's a paratrooper. Well, he's a retired paratrooper, and is also a gun nut. And he's a registered lethal weapon in Michigan. And he's constantly on me, you know, with the proper training, you don't need a gun. You just need to be aware of your surroundings and aware of what's going on at all times. And, you know, the gun is just come secondary to the whole thing. And I'm constantly, you know, joking with him and everything else. And one day I said, okay, well, yeah, show me. Well, I hurt for about a week after he showed me.
Oh, really? So then what happened?
It dislocated my shoulder, and from then on, I was just, okay, fine, you know. But I always thought that he was just a little mild-mannered guy. He's about 6'3", 350, but I tell you what, he was right. With the proper training, you know, the gun, you know, you can have all the guns in the world, but that's secondary.
Well, that sure is. Jason, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key word said there was proper training. I'm all for proper training. And, you know, it's wonderful because you can quickly disarm somebody or stop somebody. But I also love guns because I've got the distance, meaning, you know, somebody's 10 yards away, 20 yards away, 30 yards away, and they see my gun come out. That's kind of a good message to send, and I can, if I have to, take them out from there.
Joe in Long Island, east of the Rockies. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jason. Two quick questions. To me, it seems like China this century has been more of a spy state than Russia, at least on their own people and in terms of commercial spying and stealing corporate secrets and blueprints and stuff like that, and maybe, you know, watching their own people and monitoring their activities, you know, in state. I want your opinion on that. And also on Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, this guy seems to be, like, hiding out. What do you think of his position right now? And does he need to worry like Solomon Rusky did when he wrote Satanic Verses in a different way?
Yeah, so as far as China, I mean, we talked about earlier that, you know, the president's now got a lifetime presidency, so they're absolutely cracking down on their people. They're making it more oppressive. And they are doing huge, huge corporate espionage. I mean, they break every law in the world, and, hey, why would you have to spend money inventing some yourself when you just can copy the United States on what they're doing? So I would not want to be a Chinese, you know, citizen right now, because it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, the writing is on the wall when you elect your president for life. And then as far as Julian, you always got to be careful. It may not be a government that tries to take him out. It may be just be a deranged fan. So I would absolutely be very aware of my surroundings and what's going on, and be afraid for my safety.
It could be somebody who feels that he slighted the person, you know?
Exactly.
He's got to be tired in that embassy. Got to be.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, it's, you know, you get a little bit of cabin fever there and want to go out. But he certainly had to know what he was getting himself into.
What do you think of Edward Snowden and his release of all those files?
Well, you have to remember, I come from the CIA angle, meaning, you know, you sign that secrecy agreement, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Even if you see wrongdoing?
It's a fine line. And again, I know if I never worked for the CIA and I was sitting here on the line and it was reversed between you and me, I'd probably say, hey, he did a wonderful thing and it's fantastic. But from my end, I mean, he gave away classified information. I'm more with former CIA directors who have said he's a traitor, and when we get him, he better spend a lot of time in jail. So
I get about, of every 10 emails about him whenever I bring him up, 7 of them think he's a hero, 3 of them think he's a dastardly traitor.
And, yeah, and again, if I probably never worked at the agency, I'd probably be on the hero side, but I'm now on the traitor side because I've been there.
Keith in Rochester, New York's with us on the Wild Card Line. Hey, Keith, welcome.
Thank you. Some of us know emphatically that our country has strayed from the constitutional government that our founding fathers put together. Without getting into it, we have strayed from what they wanted us to be because of social networking and all of the liberalism in schools and universities. Young people today do not know what our country was really meant to be, and we really feel, some of us, that we are losing our country. I'm asking if you choose to answer. In coming years, some of us, including myself, see armed rebellion to get our country back to the way that it should be, and want to know if CIA would ever join in. And so far as you must know, all of you listening, this is not the country that it used to be. I turned 63 this year. It's changed drastically since my formative years. true armed resistance coming to get our country back to what we know it should be.
Are you talking coup, Keith? Keith, are you talking a coup?
Well, if it need be, my favorite movie of all times, and so far as this subject, is from 1967, 7 Days in May, starring Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas.
Yep, good
Lancaster
movie.
Played a, I'm very conservative. Admittedly, he was a right-wing general named Murdoch. They wanted to take back the country, conservative or otherwise. We have to get it back. And if you know 7 Days in May, including myself, some of us mean drastic business.
Well, they got to Burt, though, in the end, didn't they?
That's the movie. But in real life, some of us are willing to go the full distance to get our country back. And I'm wondering what the CIA man thinks of someone like me saying, we're taking our country back. We're not going to let liberalism and socialism undo the greatest country in the world. Everyone with half a brain knows that our country is not the way. Ben Franklin said, you have a republic if you can keep it constitutionally oriented. It didn't take long, even in the early 19th century, for the people back then to start getting away from the Constitution. Today it's much worse. People don't know what it's about. We see armed rebellion coming and want to know if the CIA is going to help us or get in our way.
Jeez, I wonder if they're monitoring that phone call. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I 100% agree with you that the country's not what it used to be. And, I mean, I'm extremely conservative, and I think it's disgusting where it's going.
But I don't see armed rebellion. Do you?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I'll put it this way. He's asking me about the CIA people. I will say, you know, the vast majority of people, the CIA are patriots. So they're people who love this country. They want to serve this country, just like the military, which is obviously why they're there. So if anything happened, I'm going to believe that the CIA is going to do what's right for this country, do what's right for the Constitution. Obviously, I hope armed rebellion never happens. You know, I have zero desire for violence, but I also own a lot of guns and I'm prepared to protect my family in the event that there's a crisis.
What would the crisis be, though? I mean, who would create the armed rebellion? What would the need be? What would have to happen for that to happen?
I mean, hey, it could be like we end up like China. You know, let's say whoever gets elected next, you know, somebody defeats Trump. Let's just throw the worst out there and maybe say Hillary Clinton somehow comes back on the map and pulls a rabbit out of the hat. And all of a sudden, you know, she says, hey, let's change the Constitution. I'm going to be Hillary for life.
I mean, well, the President Trump was, I think he was joking about that, but he seemed to be praising the Chinese leader for doing the same thing.
Well, you know, and I saw the same thing, and I hope he was joking, because we know that, you know, any president for life, no matter how
that's
good
not
they
good.
Are,
that's
but,
not
you know,
good.
It's just not the way this country
is. It's not a democracy.
Yep, exactly.
By any means. And if, you know, I don't vote for President Jason because I stay impartial. When I talk about somebody on the air, I don't have any bias. If Hillary had won, we would have had 50% of the people upset about that. She won the popular vote, but she just didn't have enough electoral votes. But if she ran again and she won legitimately, the people have spoken. That's what our system is.
Yeah, I mean, I to say I dislike Obama would be an understatement. But, yeah, that's what the people wanted, and God bless America. Just like when you hear a hate speech and, you know, all that kind of stuff, still God bless freedom of speech because you get the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, absolutely true. Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls, so don't touch your dial. And welcome back to Coast. We're here with our final segment with Jason Hansen, of course, as we talk about his work, Survive Like a Spy. And I assume, Jason, the book is available everywhere?
It is, yeah. Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any bookstore you want to get it at.
And if people want to go to your Spy Escape and Evasion School, what do they do? How do they do this?
Sure, they can just go to spyescape.com, and that shows them all the training and upcoming dates.
And you're all around the country, or they have to come to you?
So for certain, like the evasive driving courses we teach, they have to come to us. But other training, we just customize it all the time, and we can come to them.
Does the Secret Service guys, do they go through schools like that?
They do, yeah. They do a lot of evasive driving, shooting, hand-to-hand self-defense, and so on.
I guess the driver in the Kennedy the limousine didn't go through any program, huh?
I'm sure it was a lot different back then. It's gotten a lot better.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just a straight situation. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Patty in Indiana, first-time caller for us. Hello, Patty.
Hello, George. I'm so happy to get to talk to you. I love your show. The diversity of it is fantastic.
Thank you, Patty.
I have a question for your guest tonight. I'll explain my situation. I'm 71 years old. I learned to use guns starting at the age of 9, so I'm very patriotic about our Second Amendment. And I had a stroke 2 years ago, and I can't use my right hand as efficiently as I do my left. And so I haven't tried to use my pistol. My son's got it right now. And my 410, I've never even shot it because I had the stroke before I had a chance, because I was wanting to go rabbit hunting. So I want to know what would be the best thing for me to have for some security. I've got a little dog that she's just an alarm clock, and alarm to let me know somebody's at the door and the porch and stuff. But if someone would break in, what should I do?
Interesting take, Jason.
It would be easy to take care of me.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'd do? You know, you talked about you had your gun. Is, you know, I would try and get a 22. So a 22, there's hardly any recoil. You can, you know, you can use your left hand to shoot it. And so while it's not the world's most ideal self-defense round, it's killed, you know, millions of people over the years. And you said you got your dog. There's also something called Night Lock. It's a device you can put at your front door to keep the door from getting kicked in. And it's basically a door stopper. If you just do an internet search, you can find it. So since most home invasions do occur through the front door, put one of these devices that keeps people from kicking it in. And unfortunately, if they do kick in, have that 22. That way you can defend yourself.
And if you pull the gun, Jason, I've always heard you better use it.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is, you know, you don't hear about it as often, but a lot of times when you pull the gun, the criminal gets the message and they stop. You know, I've had instances in my life where I've had to draw a gun, and thankfully I've never had to use it, because when someone's looking down the wrong end of a barrel, they realize, you know, you're not playing games.
Yeah, but if somebody breaks into your house, do you want to let them go? You really want the cops to come and get them, don't you?
Well, again, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but are they still a threat? Meaning if they come through that door and I pull the gun out, and as soon as he sees it, he turns around and runs the other way, I'm going to let him run the other way and have the cops arrest him. But
you can't chase him and shoot him down, can you?
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Yeah, that will not look good for you in court. But if he busts in my door, I pull my gun, he still keeps coming at me, then of course I'm going to use it to stop him from attacking.
Yeah, if he's in the house, you've got every right to defend yourself.
Correct.
But if he's outside, you just can't go out there and be a yahoo and shoot the guy.
I mean, it all depends. Yeah. Is he
could be the gardener.
Yeah, that's the answer. You got a question. Is the guy still trying to come at me, or is he, you know, 10 blocks down the street where I'm running after him screaming?
Let's go to Luke in Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Luke, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Thank you.
Hey, I think that raising the age for being able to buy a rifle is a terrible idea.
You do. Tell me why.
Well, because 18, 19, 20-year-olds, they need to be able to protect themselves, too. And in some cases, they actually may be the most targeted, actually. I got a daughter. She's only 4 right now, but Lord willing, she'll be 18 one day, you know, moving out, maybe going to college. And who's going to protect her for 3 years? I mean, I'm not going to be there.
Well, that's true, but I mean, she's not going to walk into the school with a rifle by any means, even for her own protection.
Not all 18, 19-year-olds are going to do that, though.
No.
And actually, a very, very small percentage of people would ever even dream of something like that. That doesn't take away their right to be able to protect themselves.
Most schools do not allow concealed weapons. Is that correct, Jason?
Well, obviously elementary schools and, you know, high schools, but a lot of universities do. So I live in the state of Utah, and you can carry concealed in public universities.
You can?
Yes. But, okay. Again, every state.
That's not every state, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. Try doing that in New York or California or one of those states.
Let's go next to Eric, truck driving in Indiana now. Hi, Eric. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
George!
Hi, Eric. You scared the living daylights out of me.
This is Eric, the mind control guy. Everybody doing okay?
We're doing okay until that scream.
Awesome. Anyway, I know it's been a while since I called, but years ago, your guest was talking about CIA toys. And years ago, I used to hear about this one particular toy that nobody would confirm or deny. But years ago, on an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, they actually showed it, and it was called Ice Knives. that they had in a briefcase, and they were, you know, extremely cold, and they would use that basically as an assassin's weapon, because after they stabbed somebody, it melted and turned into ice, and there was no ballistics. And I didn't know if your guest could confirm or deny the existence of
that. All right, very good. That's interesting. Jace, never heard of that.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you, I carried a knife when I was with the CIA, but it was a regular
knife. It was a knife. Yeah.
Ice knives, you know, I have never heard of that, but obviously you could certainly kill people with an icicle or an ice knife, so it could certainly be used as a deadly weapon.
And then they melt away and you don't have any evidence, right?
I like it.
Strange. Next up, Jim, truck driving in Waco, Texas. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question is, I just moved myself and my family down to Texas, and with all the stuff going on, my wife and I have decided to do a concealed carry. And my question is, I've done a lot of hunting, I have rifles, etc., but I don't know what would be the best caliber for her or I to use for concealed. Am I going for stopping power, distance, lightweight? You know, what would be your recommendation on what caliber to use for either of us?
Well, I would guess a 380, Jason, is pretty good for concealed, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the two that I go with are either 380 or 9mm. And the important thing to remember is bullet technology is amazing these days. So if you get a jacketed hollow point round in 380 or 9mm, that's plenty of stopping power. And again, that's what me and my wife use.
But the 9 is a bigger handgun, isn't it?
Yeah, but they make so many compact handguns, even a 9mm these days, that are very easy to conceal.
Right, right. Well, how do you feel about concealed versus open law, where you can just keep it on? I think in Arizona, for example, you can do that, where you can just...
Yeah, so I live in the state of Utah, and I can open carry, walk around with it on my hip, but I'm a concealed carry guy, meaning I want the element of surprise.
Yeah, because if they know you have a gun, they're going to single you out, maybe shoot you in the back or something before they do something.
That's exactly it. If you're standing in 7-Eleven and they walk in there to rob it, who are they going to shoot first? The guy who's got the gun on his
hip. Exactly. So. Exactly. Let's go to Alan in the Sebring, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I have a handicapped friend who is going a little over. I believe I've kind of proved him wrong most of the time when he thinks he's being spied on. But is there something you might recommend? He thinks there's cameras in his house and people are, you know, some neighbors are watching him. Just something that I might be able to get for him that would at least make him think he was debugged.
Yeah, I mean, you can get camera detectors online. So if you just do a search for, you know, camera detector, there are these little infrared things where you can walk around and shine it in vents, and you'll see if there's anything sticking out. You know, it's very expensive to hire a firm to come and sweep the place. So I just do it yourself and look at all the nooks and crannies.
Just to set the guy's mind at ease, I guess, right? That happens. Rich in Monterey, California, first-time caller. Go ahead, Richie.
Hey, thanks for a lot. Taking my call here.
Sure thing.
I have some really good advice for the old lady that just called or anyone that's handicapped. When you're sitting at home, instead of having a gun, well, a gun is great, but instead of having mace or something, you should have a can of Raid, because Raid will shoot a stream of poison 20 to 25 feet, and you could just spray the crap out of him as soon as he walks in the door. And here I'm going to give another good advice.
That would be like the wasp spray, right?
Correct, correct. It has a real good spray, and they're going to be disabled right away. The other thing is, I'm going to probably make somebody rich. It's not me, because I'm the idea guy. But even the better idea would be, she would have, you know, those panic buttons that when people fall down, help.
Yeah, I just saw a couple of commercials for those, as a matter of fact.
Yes. Okay, let's just modify that and have that button hooked up to a red light on their front door and maybe a speaker with her voice recorded. Someone opens the door, she can push a button, it will scream like a police siren or something, and we'll say, help, I'm being attacked, or something like that.
That's an interesting take. What do you think of that, Jason?
Hey, I think that's a great idea. It's like a better version of that video doorbell thing. So, yeah, somebody listening should do that and make a heck of a lot of money.
Do you think the biggest concern is being attacked cyberly, being physically stalked? What do you think the biggest issue is right now?
Well, the biggest issue, what's going to happen to most people and probably many of your listeners, is cyber attacks. So getting hacked, you know, having their credit card information stolen, but getting physically attacked is clearly much worse. So that's why you carry guns and knives and all that stuff.
Let's go next to Jack in Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I'm U.S. Army.
Thank you, sir.
20 years U.S. government, and I'm retired, so I can listen to Coast all the time.
Perfect. Perfect. And thank you for serving.
And I've been in some of the worst cities in the world, and good advice always was act like a local, don't keep your money hidden, and act stupid.
Blend in.
Yeah, and I've stayed in hotels, and when I was one who liked to go around exploring and looking around. I would try to find a sweeper, the worst nasty guy I could find, give him a $100 bill, and said, if you get me back to the hotel, there's a $100 bill waiting for you, and I usually made it back.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah, and I've had to, you know, I've had taxi drivers decide they're going to go a different way I wanted to, and I'd have to pull a gun on them if I was lucky enough to have one. I would carry a Playboy magazine rolled up real tight and use that as a good weapon and also a good distraction.
Yeah, that could be.
I've never been kidnapped. I mean, I've come close. I've had to fight people off and been tied up. But today of terrorism, it's all political now. You can't buy your way out of it. What would your comrade in arms guest say? I call him comrade in arms because he's former CIA. And what would he advise if you get caught kidnapped by a terrorist?
All right. And what's the motive? Money or just to kidnap you? I guess they would be several different motives, Jason, would they not?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if you're somebody important or you're an average Joe. But, I mean, obviously you're going to fight like the Dickens to make sure you don't get kidnapped. And then the most important thing to remember is you've got to escape within that first 24 hours, no matter what.
If you can. What if you're tied up to a chair or something?
I mean,
like
you've got to do whatever it takes, because after 24 hours, they're probably going to move you to a different location. But even worse, you're going to be a lot weaker. So
they may kill you.
Yeah, well, they may kill you, but you've got food and you've got water in your system in that first 24 hours, and your captors are probably not going to feed you steak and eggs and three meals a day. So if you're trying to escape 6 months later, you're going to be incredibly weak. So you just, again, 24 hours is the thing to remember.
How bad is it in terms of young women being kidnapped and taken overseas?
It's bad.
It's happening, isn't it? It does happen.
Yeah, it does happen. And I actually work with guys who stop it because it's one of those things that's not on the news enough, but sex trafficking is just horrific. And there needs to be more people out there rescuing these girls.
How do they get them out of the country?
They lure them. I mean, just like how does a 71-year-old guy lure a 13-year-old girl somewhere to meet him in public and then take him down a back alley and do horrific things? It's just, in a way, it's like recruiting someone.
Jeez.
You know, they're not spies for the U.S. government or another government.
I mean, do these people know that they're going to be kidnapped, basically?
No, it's the fantasy of, hey, you're going on this incredible internship, or, hey, I met this great guy online. I mean, you've all heard that story where some American woman who doesn't have a boyfriend and doesn't have a lot of money.
And she's lonely.
A guy in France. I mean, it's a cliche, but it also happens all the time. It is true.
Hey, what's this Nigerian scam? Everybody gets these emails that they're dying. They got $20 million in the bank, and they need you to give them some info. What's their motive here? How do they make money on this?
Oh, their motive is, hey, we need you to give you your bank account and just, you know, give us a little bit of money. That way we can transfer the rest to you. We need to give you a good faith deposit, or, hey, the guy who's going to transfer the $20 million wants to make sure that this is your bank. Let us just do a deposit. Give us a deposit.
Once you give them your account number and the routing number, they use your money, I guess.
Exactly. They try and suck everything out of your account.
Interesting. Almost out of time here with Jason Hansen. Let's take another call or two. Tony, truck driving in Idaho, is with us now. Go ahead, Tone.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great,
Real
Tony.
Quick.
Sure.
I'm taking a cruise to Cabo San Lucas in Puerto Vallarta with an 18-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old boy and my wife. Any advice on how to stay safe out there?
What do you say, Jason?
I would do everything
public.
Possible. To talk to your daughter especially and let her know the dangers, because we're all 18 years old once. We're all knuckleheads. We thought we were invincible. But let her know how dangerous it is.
And don't go off the beaten path.
That's exactly it. Do not let any charming man try and talk her to going somewhere else or, hey, come to a house party or this or that, and just install common sense in her mind as much as possible.
Exactly. I think she's probably going with that 18-year-old young guy that they're bringing, but the bottom line is common sense, for crying out loud. Don't get used by people. Jason, thank you. Keep in touch with us, will you?
Absolutely.
Survive like a spy. Great story, to be sure. Up next, another great story, extraterrestrial presence on Earth. Judy Carroll joins us. Get ready for this ride on Coast to Coast AM. We will be right back. And, of course, we'll take phone calls in our last hour with her.